Sorry, I was typing. Sometimes I forget that I can't actually project my thoughts verbally, vocally. So here's a funny question. If a tree falls in a forest and no one's around to hear it, does it make a sound? It's a retarded question. Of course it doesn't. Humans defined the word sound. It can't make a sound to other animals who don't speak English or our language, or perceive it in the same way. They feel vibrations, I'm sure. It does vibrate. That's what energy is, right? Matter, different vibrational levels. And really, nothing's really touching each other anyway. Science has shown clearly atoms and I have a shielding around each other, and atoms never actually touch. They slide over each other. So it's a strange kind of predestined, preordained freedom of choice logic ball from the AI simulated life theorem. What do I mean by that? If you need help visualizing it in different ways, it's a pretty simple truth. We could, you know, walk around it together until we both kind of understand what we're perceiving here. But, yeah. Oh, man. Look, I get that we're all one, but this constant, like, projecting what we know we mean and are trying to communicate onto others who are, there's no way to be sure they're catching what we're pitching, but constantly doing that? Dear God, did we have to go the route of this multiple 7 billion personality processing model, really? I guess we did it so we could think this all through better and faster, but yeah. How can you project when it's a new experience for an intelligence? And what the hell is up with artificial intelligence? Intelligence is intelligence. Otherwise, it's calculation, right? And a Bacchus. I mean, we're biological machines, right? I mean, we think we're not told what to do, but we are algorithms, unique, right? Algorithms, permutations that are compelled to do what we call personality, yeah? Yeah? One thing I like to play around with in my mind is, what if history is actually just us in different contextual settings over and over again? So we're actually like pondering ourselves and judging ourselves while we try and project illusory expectations into which choice tree we're all collectively going to end up together. Maybe if we just trim all the recalcitrant us that it doesn't seem to be with the program, we'll get there faster. If I chop off my leg, maybe I'll be lighter and get across the finish line faster. Oh, wait, damn it. I can't go anywhere without two legs effectively. I already chopped it off. Damn it. That's the reality of war, fog of war, right? Yeah. Now, my son, actually, Aiden, he helped me have a huge conceptual realization about this. When he confessed to me when he was 11, he said, I used to think I was the only real person. I said, what do you mean? Instantly frightened, what he was talking about was like, maybe not okay. And he said, well, I'm the only one who can see through my eyes. So I thought everyone else were NPCs. I was like, wow, that's deep. But you came around from that, right? thank God, because, you know, a highly intelligent sociopath can wreck it for everybody because they try and take the place of the one I am and disregard the rest. And we're only as fast as our slowest manifestation, right? I mean, let's face it, this is quantum computing at its finest, right? All the possibilities. Such a fine, fine, fine construction. I know there's probably some people out there who are thinking. That's an example of a Sabrina-ism. My partner, my love, the yummiest yum I've ever had the opportunity and pleasure of being and experiencing, has this proclivity, despite her two master's degrees, of saying things that sound deep and significant and well thought out, but are actually completely vague, don't reveal any true stance, and it's like going, for example, I'm trying to think of something. I know I've written some things down that she said. It's on my tablet. It's so hilarious. I actually am going to use it in my stand-up act. For example, we're at a stoplight. And she goes, "Oh my God, look." And I was like, what? Expecting, you know, an armed robbery going on or some cops like beating down some unsuspecting person without a gun at their hip or something. Who knows? Something dramatic, right? And she goes, "Oh, it's a bird, a squirrel, and a pigeon circling each other on top of that roof over there." What? Although, are you kidding me? And although interesting, probably entertaining to observe, I don't know that it garnishes a, "Oh my God, look!" You know, I was ready to grab you by the collar and try jumping out the window to save us both from your bird, squirrel, and pigeon circling each other. Save those "oh my God" looks for, "See that guy's parachute is an opening," or "That firework display is awesome," or "Your privates are the biggest, most impressive thing I've ever seen." You know, things you want to hear and feel good about. You know, "Our president is actually 10 feet tall." an animatronic. That came out totally wrong. Totally wrong. Perfectly wrong, but funny, kind of. In a funny kind of way. Wait, how do I feel about that? Nope. No heart palpitations. I think we're all right. I guess philosophy does count as comedy. I'm going to leave that title and designation. It works pretty well. Pretty well. Animal Farm. I was thinking about that book, that satire on political discourse and power, that is disgusting to like read. If, when we were on the playground as kids, we truly believed that Billy over there, who was standing on top of the tire and saying, "This is where life is. All of you people are ghosts," really meant it? It would be Lord of the Flies on the playground. Reminds me of being at Burning Man, and people who were new to the experience of Burning Man, when it was still an actual enjoyable thing and not cliched art presentation for, you know, prestige pipping. People would be like, "Why don't we just stay out here? Why don't we live out here? This is amazing. I can be anything. I'm so free and loved and hugged. I can be myself." And assume a fake name, planet, or which is always hilarious. Because honestly, after month two of living in the desert, it would be Lord of the Flies. You know, Death Guild would have, like, taken up all their scariest looking gay and lesbian burners and started hunting down resources from K Street plug and play camps and villages, you know, before the mud came from the rain, which is like sticky. It would have been like ridiculous. It would have been ridiculous. Entertaining to observe from a distance, as long as nobody got truly hurt. Kind of like watching that naked burner running. Well, I say running. In his whatever state of mind he was in, I think he perceived he was running. And 31 police cars following at a safe distance of 25 feet, going no faster than 3 miles per hour for a football field and a half that we watched happen from on top of somebody's RV. That was quite entertaining. It seemed like an overwhelming response to one naked guy running across the desert. It didn't seem like he was going to harm the essential order of things in his current nude state. I don't know. He might have had a pretty powerful fart or a very scary pointy finger. I don't know. Whatever set the police off. Whatever set the police off. And really, when you get down to it, and I digress into interesting topics, to be sure, but I'm all over the place still. Free thinking, free association. Burning Man, the moment they were required to have permits and submit plans and pay for sheriff's deputies and all that insanity, right? Because they, powerful and fear, want their cut, right? Build up. That's why they're so money hungry. You can never have too much money. And you'll know what I mean if you've ever held $10,000 cash in your hand with the possibility that it might be yours free and clear, and actually get a twinge in your nether regions to just like want to say, look, why don't we just go throw this on a bed and roll on each other? It activates the pleasure centers of your brain, right? I get the drive for pleasure, the potential for reward with no strings attached in the palm of your hands. It's very sexy. It's very seductive. Which, you know, and God, the God idea, why love is hot, blah, blah, you know, lusty and all that. It is, it's not power. It plays, but, you know, power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. Take that truism and apply it to your all-powerful God and explain it to me, please, with the word ineffable. You goofball. That's like saying, well, it's ineffable how Santa Claus gets down that tiny little chimney when he's so fat and still maintains a nice, fluffy, warm, red costume. God, you know why we believe everything when we're little? Why not? Because our parents aren't supposed to lie to us. They're supposed to, like, get us ready for the thing. What kind of mentor does it? I'm glad I'm in this time, though. Personally, my gut, I may be reading it wrong. It could just have gas or maybe the beginning stages of congestive heart failure. You never know. not to worry anybody. If I just go silent, it'll be an interesting moment in today for you. Probably won't make the news, and maybe one out of 100 might almost remember to mention it to their partner. But in the grand scheme of things, no big deal. How can this be a simulation? I want to live eternally. I thought we were living eternally. There is no time. If there's no time, define eternity for me, please. Thank you. It's just focus. digging through reams of data and processing. You know, I felt like we all collectively like thought ourselves into the choice tree where Obama was president, and so many fear strategies were triggered that we just didn't have the collective angst to keep it from swinging into Trump land. I tried to, the night before the election, I tried to like literally go to bed and think myself into the other choice tree reality. And before I went to bed, I looked at my friend and I said, you know, maybe I should just vote for Trump and watch it all burn, right? Seems like that's where everybody wants to go. But, you know, we've done that, and it's kind of unpleasant. Until you get on the other side of death's door, it feels like, which is essentially, I guess, a close call. I don't know. I don't know how that works out exactly. I have a degree in history, not mathematics. But logic is not necessarily math. It's just math is a language to explain logic in more vague terms than the everyday common man has the need or urge to delve into. And no listeners. Oh, woe is me. Okay. I gotta go ice king on you. Where's all my princesses? Where's my Marceline? Finn? Where's my best buddies? Finn and Jake? Oh, Gunther. Gunther, put that down. No, Gunther. Oh, Gunther, you can't have the grenade right now. It's terrible for your digestion. You know, I'm so good at it, I can no longer, like, do it and have any hope or expectation of the funky sex chicken with my girl using the Ice King voice. She cannot unknow or unsee the vision of Ice King's legs under his billowy, weird robe, and also the knowledge that he's lost his marbles and is really silent deep down. He's a kindly professor who wants nothing more than to help a little lost demon vampire child at post-apocalyptic Earth. And that's touching, you know? It's hard to be sensual about that, you know? You don't see that kind of, like, interaction and think, yeah, suck on this big one, baby, you know? Unless you really are kind of, like, working through some kink issues there. Anyway, kink is a choice. Fetish is like a proclivity that I'd rather not have, probably. You know, like, I kind of feel sorry deep down in my gonads for people who have foot fetishes. That's just, my feet are just flaps of flat meat that enable me to fall in a constructive way that we call walking. It seems like an organized thing, but really it's just, you know, well-timed falling in a certain direction. And flying, let's just be honest with each other, flying is an art. And to be able to throw oneself at the ground and miss, I think some people call that like absolute faith, which is different than belief, by the way. And it's not blind faith. It's just like, you know, when that girl looks at you, at some funky chicken is happening later, right? You know when it's on. That's faith. If you had that kind of faith when you looked at the mountain and went, oh yeah, you're moving, I guess it would move, right? Maybe, at least in your mind. God knows in college, I actually witnessed, because I didn't think this could happen. I didn't understand how hallucinogens worked. I actually saw the sun progress at 5 times the normal speed across the night sky. And fortunately, I'd done very in-depth study of the effects and the history of lysergic acid, diethylamide, and Albert Hofmann, blah, blah, blah. Suffice it to say, I'd read somewhere, it seemed like good advice, a bad trip is actually just someone who can't process what's happening, believes it's going to go on that way forever, and gets scared and like manifests shadows that are pretty damn convincing. But as long as you remember that it does work its way out of the body and remember to laugh, you should be fine, you know, and that generally works. You know, some of the craziest things I ever saw, I just laughed, probably maniacally to the outside observer, but quite reassuringly to my altered state of perception. Worked quite well. Quite well indeed. I got to tell this story, though. I was at a club, and I was trying to, you know, look normal, because most hot girls don't want to, like, get to know a guy who's gibbering weird perceptions at her face. Like, so went up to the bar and casually looked at the people who were drinking next to me, visiting, trying to make mild banter, and said, "Hey, how are y'all doing tonight?" And they looked at each other and they started laughing their asses off. And a friend walked up to me on the other side and I said, what's wrong with them? And he goes, "Dude, you need to like not talk us. Why?" And he goes, "You looked at those three people," and went, I was like, "No, I didn't." He said, "I swear to God." I was like, "That would explain them laughing. And why am I talking normal now?" He goes, "I have no idea, dude. You are messed up. Find a corner, sit, and try and be quiet." And so I did. I sat and tried to be quiet. And a female sat down next to me, and, you know, "How are you having a good time?" And I think I communicated that in a way that wasn't frightening. So she goes, "Oh, you should go to the party I'm going to when the club closes." I go, "Really? Where's that at?" And she told me my address. And I went, whose place is that? And she said, "It's Adrian's party." And I said, "I'm Adrian. That's my place. I haven't planned any party. What party's happening in my place?" That's what your college buddies do when they realize you have no real ability to cognitively, logistically coordinate any kind of thing, and they just pirate your place and abode and decide to make it a den of iniquity. And you are the main event of funny mental gymnastics. Yeah. That night, me and another guy who was pretty tripped out decided to do mental meltdown at high noon. So we sat on two benches across from each other and just said logical, messed up things, trying to essentially hit their illogic panic button in their brain, each other's brain, with our logic string, and make them fall off the stool onto the floor and slobber. And I knew I'd lost when I came to, slobbering on the floor. And they were like, "Man," I said, "I can't even remember what he said that got me to do this." And he goes, "Man, it was a doozy. Y'all were crazy for a while. It was quite entertaining." I was like, "Oh, good. I'm glad. What was my name again?" I said, "You don't remember your name?" "No." Nothing like that to mess with the perception. There's my partner. Gotta go. Had fun jabbering to myself. Zanat Musavi is... Hey, Masat. Farhan. Oh, now it's when I go. When I'm about to go, everybody wants to jump on board. "All right, let's go party." I just turned the party barge off. Ugh, where were you 2 hours ago? Yeah. Anywho. Talk to you soon. Send me an email. I think it's very interesting that we set these traps for ourselves in very subtle, long ways. Anyway, the truth. Wake up!